When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
Chasing Big Joe, hour number three on this Monday. Time now to talk more NFL with our man John McClain down in Houston. John, happy draft week. How you doing?
I couldn't be better, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. When you were, you know, on the beat, full-time, covering the NFL, whatever it was, I mean, was it today that you already heard some rumors of trades and teams like trying to move up or move back or whatever, but is this truly when the Lions season really picks up?
Well, it doesn't just pick up. The Lions season starts as soon as coaches and general managers start doing their news conferences before. Of course, they all do everything they can not to tell the truth about anything. And, of course, almost all of them lie all the time when they say they're going to take the best player available when they mean the best player available at a need position. And so things that I hear now, it's amazing. I was watching ESPN guys. Well, they could do this, they could do that, or they might not. And really, they're not telling us anything until we see something like Trent Williams has signed his three-year extension. Or Cincinnati, at the last minute, that came out, that trade was made a week ago, and they kept it quiet. Until you see things that come true immediately, you never know for sure. People don't make it up. People lie to them, and they have to have things. Just think how much you guys have had to talk about the draft on the radio.
Yeah.
And how much pressure those ESPN people are and NFL Network to give you information that if you were to go back and you'd say, well, you know, I think Adam Schefter said that, because you can't remember who said what or when they said it, but it's still interesting. Like I look at every single mock draft and I still see some of them that have the Titans not taking Jeremiah Love, which to me would be the biggest upset. What they got to be worried about is Arizona trading with somebody. Some people think Arizona will take him, and I will think, well, they've known Jeremiah Love is a great prospect since after the season, so why would they have signed Tyler Algiers, free agent? Why would they have re-signed James Conner if neither one of those guys is going to start? But maybe they changed their mind, because it's a fact that players go up and down based on how they look in shorts and t-shirts.
I know, the underwear Olympics. What can you think off the top of your head of a time where, whether it was Floyd or another GM or somebody, like, kind of said something that, you know, sparked, like, okay, what are they up to? It could be with the Texans as well, but one that, you know, you just stands out to you of a big move that you saw coming, or they tried to throw you off the trail, so to speak?
Well, because there was no social media, it wasn't as nearly as big a deal. There was not online sites. There were talk shows, but not as many as there are now. And it was big news if we found out Floyd had actually told the truth about something. And if he did, it was an accident where he slipped up, because he used to give us all kind of grief after it was over about lying about everything or talking in circles, and he was a master at it. Nick Caserio, who's done a tremendous job rebuilding the Texans, I've never seen anybody who talked more and said less every time he's in front of the media. And you're looking for morsels of information. And there's been things that have slipped out, like I knew in 2002 the Texans were going to take David Carr, and it didn't matter how great of a prospect Julius Peppers was. they wanted a quarterback, and they had zeroed in on Carr the previous season when he was a senior at Fresno State. Turned out to be a huge mistake. Pepper's in the Hall of Fame, and Carr's on the NFL Network the last time I looked. So as far as there's been a lot of funny things that happen around the draft, and players getting in trouble. You know, the Laramie Tunsil gas mask thing, of all the things that I've seen, somebody putting that out there on social media to try to hurt him, and they did, cost him a lot of money, still the number one pick, putting that out there, and of all things to put out, a guy hitting a bong with a gas mask, and he never lived it down. You say Laramie Tunsil, you don't think about all the Pro Bowls, been a high state offensive lineman two different times in history when he negotiated contracts with the Texans. But you think, oh, the guy with the gas mask in the draft.
It was certainly something to see. John McClain's on the Jason Big Joe Show. John, around here, you know, Jeremiah Love sitting there at four, you know, Titans fans would love to get. But the Jets and the Cardinals at 2 and 3, how open do you think they are right now? Because I know the Jets got two picks in the first round. Jerry might give his two to move up there and do all that. I love the anticipation, John. I know you've covered a long time, but this year it seems to me so many different storylines could develop Thursday. It's going to be a fun night to watch no matter what happens, right?
No matter what, to me, my all-time favorite draft was the COVID draft, where we got to see everybody at home. I had Roger Goodell in his basement, Cliff Kingsbury alone in his mansion and his big pool. I just thought that was great. Bill Belichick and his dog. Yeah, I wish they did that every year. But yes, because of the edge rushers being so good. The only thing we know for sure is Mendoza's going to the Raiders. And that may be the only one I get right. And and there will be a few trades. Some people say there's going to be more. Some people say less. And the truth is nobody has a bleeping clue.
No, you're right. John, it came out today that Anthony Richardson for the Colts has requested a trade. I mean, what a disaster, right? You just move on from that because everybody knew going in that was not going to work. Richardson's sample size at Florida was not very good. It wasn't large. It was small and everything that goes on. But that's a good one just to kind of move on from him and say goodbye. Would anybody want him, John?
Oh, yeah. There's good quarterback coaches that love to have him. What do you think Sean McVay would do with him or Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan make anything out of him? What he did not have was experience. And he, along with Jamarcus Russell, are two great examples of guys that look great in shorts and T-shirts, and because they could throw the ball, and Russell couldn't move, but he could throw, and people fell for it. You know, it's one thing for Chris Ballard to fall for it, but it's another one for Al Davis to fall for it. Ryan Leaf, to me, is the biggest bust in history. Ryan Leaf in 98, there were people that actually said, and you could Google it and find it. Unfortunately for them, they take Ryan Leaf over Peyton Miller, better size, more filled out, strong, better arm. And Leaf, of course, was a disaster. And the draft is littered with decisions like that. I remember one year, the Browns picked right after the Oilers. They had a big rivalry, and the Oilers took too long. And if your clock expires, the next team could draft.
Right.
And the Rams and the Browns ran up there and put up a linebacker named Clifford Charlton, and they thought that they had bamboozled the Oilers, that the Oilers were going to take him and messed around and did. And Charlton was a humongous bust. And the guy they took, Lorenzo White, was a 1,000-yard rusher. And one year, the Buccaneers took the wrong guy. They took, I can't remember who they passed up, but they took a Penn State guard named Sean Farrell, who played a long time and was really good. So there's all kind of draft day stuff surrounding it. One of my all-time favorite stories was on the COVID draft. They showed CeeDee Lamb His family's home in Houston, bunch of family there. He's sitting on a sofa with his drop-dead gorgeous girlfriend next to him. And he's on the phone talking to the Cowboys. And he has a phone on his left thigh. And obviously it vibrated. She picked it up and started to look at the screen while he's talking to the Cowboys. He calmly took it out of her hand and put it face down back on his left knee and kept his hand on it. And I always wondered, obviously she was wondering who was calling her boyfriend. I'd love to know if they were still together.
Oh, that's a good one. It came out today that Ty Simpson was offered $6.5 million, John, by the Miami Hurricanes to come play for them. He decided to go pro. I thought that was kind of refreshing because he wanted his dream was to play in the NFL. But going forward, how much do you think things like that are going to influence guys to stay in college next year, which could really benefit them in the long run because they develop, they're getting paid. There's no sense to go to the NFL if you're not going to make that money and sit on the bench when you can go play and develop that way.
Well, Joe, you have to think of this. Two general managers talked about this week. The longer you stay in college, the more hits you take, the more likely you've been to suffer injuries, whether they're nagging injuries or they're more serious injuries. And the time you come into NFL, you have experience, but you have a lot more wear and tear on your body. And if you're good, you're more likely to get two contracts, your rookie, your next one, but you're not going to get a third one.
He is John McClain joining us here on this Monday. We'll have more with him coming up next from Houston here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Continue with John McClain. So, John, what will be your plans this year for the draft?
I'm going to I'll go over to Texans, but we have a big event for Gridiron Legends of Texas for charity downtown where they have the big celebration at the convention center while the headquarters is over at NRG Stadium. And it's amazing to me how much the draft has changed since I did my first one, all for the better. You know, I'd like to be home sitting in front of my TV by myself where I could hear everything instead of talking to people. I've always thought all the features they show on TV, sometimes I like to just sit there and listen to them. And like I do at the Super Bowl, since I don't cover Super Bowls anymore after doing over 40. But I figured I got to get out, shake some hands, and enjoy. Texans had 3 picks in the first 2 rounds. People are pumped about that. And last year, Nick Caserio traded out of the first round. People are bummed, of course. But it's still such a great time for the fans, and I know they're fired up for Mike Bergonzi to take Jeremiah Love.
Well, I'm hoping, but I'm just, as Joe has mentioned, like, we're all scared he's going to be gone, but we'll see. And you've dealt with enough GMs over the years. Did you ever get a sense from somebody that, okay, if a guy you absolutely love is not there, then are you more likely to be open to trading back? And I wonder if that's where the Titans are, if there's somebody, like, whether it's Love or Reese or Bailey or whoever, that isn't there or they're getting a ton of phone calls. Would it behoove them to try and move back a few spots and add more picks?
Well, it depends on the pick, of course. There are not many guys that are supposed to be stars. Now, it may end up with 50 who are going to be stars. You can't tell. But David Bailey and Arvell Reese are, a lot of people say they're going two. So if one of them goes two and Love goes three, Bergonzi and Saleh cannot go wrong taking Bailey or Reese, whichever one is left over. Sometimes if you look at all the bad draft choices the Titans have made through the years in the first round, they've screwed up a lot. Most teams do. Some teams don't, and that's the ones that stay consistently on top as a playoff contender. But if you got a guy to be a rare player, you know, you better think really carefully before you trade and take a guy who's not, you don't believe. It's not what the media or the fans think. It's what you believe. And they believe last year Cam Ward was the guy for them. You know, we all feel good about it, but we're not going to know for sure for another 2 or 3 years. how good Cam Ward's going to be, and a lot of it has to be the people they put around him. And there are worse things than building a defense like the Texans have built, where, you know, they help you get to the playoffs, you win a playoff game, you don't get any farther in the second round because your offense is constantly changing. And both of those guys, Reese or Bailey, are going to be stars, and people shouldn't be sad or angry if they end up with one of them because Jeremiah Love went third.
Interesting to know that. John, it's been 20 years since the Mario Williams pick for the Houston Texans. Take me back to that night, because, look, we all thought Vince Young, being from Houston, what he just done in the Rose Bowl, would be the perfect fit there. I know you guys already had David Carr and all that, but where were you when you found out that Mario Williams was going to be the pick, and just kind of the chaos that happened after that?
Vince was never going to be the number one pick of the Texans. They liked Carr. They thought they needed a good quarterback coach. One reason they hired Gary Kubiak from Denver in 06, they thought he could make Carr into the star they thought he was worth. And Gary spent one season with him, got rid of him, and traded for Matt Schaub, and they won two division titles. So we all knew it wasn't going to be Vince. We thought it was going to be Reggie Bush. You know, Reggie Bush was the best player in the draft. I never heard Mario Williams' name until after he worked out at the combine. Texans didn't even go to his pro day. And they started telling me, Kubiak and Charlie Cashley, the GM, how much they love the guy. And I said, y'all are just trying to get me to write to scare Reggie Bush's agent, Joel Siegel, into taking your offer. And they swore it was not true. I didn't believe them. The night before the draft, my talk show, we had gone to New York. We're outside Madison Square Garden, and we're doing our show there. And I'm talking about, I think they're going to take Reggie Bush the next day. Charlie Cashley texts me during a break, said we've reached an agreement with Mario Williams. We're going to be announcing it in about 10 minutes. And I'm like, holy bleep. So we come back on the air, and I said, you know, guys, I've been thinking about this a little more. You know, defense wins championships. I think they need to pivot from Reggie Bush and go with Mario Williams, and here's why. And I remember one of the hosts said, well, there you go. John McClain's done a 360. He's going with Mario Williams. Oh, Texans just announced they reached agreement with Mario Williams, and I told them the truth. I didn't tell them who told me. I said, I got a tip, and that's the only reason I changed it. And it turned out to be the right move, and that was the best draft in franchise history, including 23 when they got Stroud and Anderson with the second and third picks, because first pick of the second round was D'Amico Ryans. First two picks of the third round were two starting offensive tackles. One, Eric Winston, started for years. The other one had a career-ending injury. Owen Daniels was a really good tight end. So even that 23 draft wasn't the best. And Mario turned out to be worth it. He was a double-digit sack guy.
Right.
And when they brought in Wade Phillips to be the defensive coordinator in 11, and they switched from a 4-3 to a 3-4. Mario stayed on as a 290-pound outside linebacker, and he got hurt. And they determined that's not the kind of outside linebacker we need, so he went to Buffalo. And D'Amico Ryans was not a 3-4. He was a 4-3 middle linebacker, so they traded him to Philadelphia. But they went to the playoffs, won a game, and they've improved to number two in defense because they used their first-round pick on a guy named Watt.
That's crazy. That, what a great pick that was in 2011. Chase and I, John, were talking about after the fourth, you know, basically after the third round, you need those guys to go. But fourth through seventh, you can get some good guys there that can really contribute. There's a guy that the Texans took in 2012 in the fourth round, a guy by the name of Ben Jones, who had a heck of a career in Houston, heck of a career in Tennessee. So you just never really know. It's all about the fit, right?
Yeah, we had no idea when they drafted Ben. He played guard at first, and then he moved to center. All we knew is he was a weirdo. When it was cold on the road, he'd be out there barefoot in pregame warmups, and we didn't know anything about Ben. And then once he got to center, he was really good. Everybody liked him. Everybody respected him, and they were bummed when he left, especially when he went to the Titans and picked up where he left off, except he became – even better. And those, remember, a seventh-round pick used to be a mid-round pick.
That's right.
And there were a lot of good players taking the sixth, seventh, and eighth rounds. Back then, they'd say, well, you know, you got to hit in the seventh, eighth, and ninth rounds of this 12-round draft. That's where you build your special teams and your backups who are ready to play when they're necessary. Blaine Bishop, one of the best players in franchise history. He wouldn't have been drafted today. Blaine was their last eighth-round pick.
Wow. That is crazy to think about. John McClain is with us. Without getting into it too much, because I feel like, you know, I don't want to spend a ton of time on what coaches and reporters do in their personal time, but how does
the
Mike...
perception of impropriety. You're taught in journalism 101. The perception of impropriety is as bad as impropriety. And for Diana Russini, who's a good reporter, and I've always liked her, to put herself in that situation, she forgot about journalism 101. Now, Mike Vrabel, you know, Mike, you know, he's got to answer to Jennifer. But nobody does anything to coaches for things like that. And I believe Russini will return for a website, not as an insider, but to give her opinion. She'll probably get a podcast, a YouTube channel. Somebody like Barstool will probably hire her. And I hope she lands on her feet but she just made a grievous mistake, even if it was all totally innocent. Totally innocent. You never, as a reporter, a female reporter, put yourself in that position, because there has been, is, and will always be a double standard against women.
So how does Mike Vrabel go about this with the draft press conferences that are all coming up? He didn't do the pre-draft press conference, which isn't crazy because he didn't always do it here. But how, you know, Thursday night when they're talking about their draft, you know, somebody's going to ask, how does he combat that?
Well, first of all, his VP of Communications, Stacey James, who's been there for all the Gates, the Belichick, backing out on the Jets, every controversy they've had, Stacey's been there, head of media relations. And I'm sure Stacey James will come up here and say, guys, I know you got questions, but this is about football. It's about the draft. It's not about anything else. And because it's Boston and New England, somebody will try to frame a question to get one in there. And the key is, will Mike snap his head off like Mike has been known to do, or will Mike just continue on and say, look, you know, Stacey told you it's all football. I'll answer any football questions you have. And that nixes it.
Well, I can't wait to see him, because you know him. He will definitely snap some heads off. So it'll be interesting to see for sure.
I don't think we're going to see that from Mike. I think on draft night, we're going to see if somebody asks him one anything, I think he'll bite his lip and be very pleasant.
Yeah. John, appreciate the time as always. We will talk to you post-draft and looking forward to it.
You guys have a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every Monday here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, and he is certainly one of the best. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, and our off-season sponsor is Tennessee Brew Works. They're the official craft beer of the football off-season, and all of our coverage here on 102.5 The Game. We'll react to that and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.